We're going to be reading from Matthew 25, a parable that I just can't escape from. But before I do that, Chris mentioned this and we've sang about it today. It's for all you are and all I can become. And the Bible speaks about power corrupts. And just lately I've been pondering over the whole aspect of leadership. And so often we can see that in action, power corrupts. But I heard a man say on Friday, although power corrupts, power also enables us to become the people we really are. And I think that's worth thinking about. Because when we're placed in a position of authority in any way, shape or form, be it authority over our family, in the workplace, ministry, whatever, power can corrupt, but it can also make you into the person you really are, good, bad or ugly. So I think that's something that we ought to ponder on and think about. I also am in the habit of writing down my thoughts, and I was sharing with Susan the other day that when I write and I go to read back what I've written, I've actually written some things back to front, inside out and upside down, and I can't actually read them, because many of you will know that I'm dyslexic, and sometimes I speak in dyslexic, and I definitely write in dyslexic, so I have to go over and redo some of the things I've written, and sometimes I think I ought to keep my comments to myself, and other times I think it's good to share. And what I've written down here as a side issue, before I go into Matthew 25, 14 to 30, is I've written this, and this was me speaking to God. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm not trying to impress or to bring lengthy, in-depth conversations on theology. But Lord, I would like to bring something that will be relevant to us as a church, to us as Grace Community Church, to us as a group of believers. I'd like to encourage, and I'd like to provoke, I'd like to stir us up. And that's a word that I've used rather a lot in our prayer group. Lord, stir us up. And I'm drawn to the story in the Bible where it speaks about the pool of Bethesda, where cripples and lame and weak people would sit, and they'd wait for the waters to be stirred by the angel of the Lord. And when the waters were stirred, they want to get in. And you know, sometimes we need the Spirit of God to provoke us, to stir us up. That's a sign. To stir us up into action and to provoke us. So I want to be somebody that will bring encouragement, but also to stir us up into doing something for the kingdom. In Matthew 25, 14 to 30, this parable, I believe, shows us God's plan, how we can double our ability and productivity in the kingdom of God. So I'll just start at verse 14, 25. It says this, and it goes on from other parables, and what Jesus is saying, and he's speaking to his disciples, is the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. We see it mentioned again and again and again. This parable is in parallel with what Luke is saying in Luke's gospel. Parable of the talents is the title. Again, it is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I know you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've spoken many times on this parable, and I still can't get it out of my heart because I think it's relevant to all of us, as young Christians, as mature Christians, as a young church, as a people who are asking the Lord, what do you want of me? And what I want to try and do is bring something new out of what we already know. And hopefully it will speak to us. The kingdom of heaven is, we hear Jesus say this very often, the kingdom of heaven. And we ask the question, what is the kingdom of heaven? In the New Testament, the kingdom of heaven has two distinct meanings. One, dominion, and two, reigning. The kingdom of heaven, the rule and the reign of God. Within that word, dominion and reigning, the second, reigning, that word, it carries three elements. The first one, deliverance. The second one, blessings. And the third one, authority. So the kingdom of heaven carries deliverance, blessings, and authority. That's the dominion in which Jesus was speaking about. Many times he speaks to his disciples and to those around them in parables. And he starts off, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven. And he's trying to teach his disciples principles about kingdom living. And you know, for us as Christians, we want to live life kingdom. So it's under God's authority. So everything that I speak about today is under God's covering. It's under God's authority. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. And God has given me and he has given you talents and abilities. And what I want to show hopefully today is how we can double the talent and the ability that God has given us, that God has entrusted to us. In verse 14, it says that he was entrusted with his Lord's money. It was delivered to him, the word means. Entrusted, delivered to him, given up. The Bible speaks about Jesus was given up for us. He was given over too. So the Lord didn't give them his money and expect to receive his money back. He actually gave it to them. So what Jesus is saying here, that the Lord had given them a measure of talent. He'd given them a monetary value. You know, talents used to be a measurement of weight. And I think the weight of a talent was round about the equivalent of 75 pounds. Then it became a monetary term. And then later on, it became the translation with this parable and the parable in Luke 19 would indicate that the word talent was representing a gift or an ability. So the master was giving them a gift or an ability. And in this parable, he speaks about a monetary thing. And what the master was asking them to do was to work with what they had been given. He entrusted, delivered, gave up. Romans 8:32. God delivered up his son for us. He gave him up. It's the same word that's used in this parable. In verse 15, he gave over his talents. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. And to another, he gave 1, according to their ability. He didn't give them more than they could handle. So often we say, as people from the front, we talk about the issue of talents. We talk about what God has given you. We talk about what you need to do with what God has given you. And the truth is this, for some of us, and I've said this before, some of us are 5-talent people. Some of us are 2-talent people. And some of us are 1-talent people. But the reward for all those people that use what God has given them is exactly the same. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom. God wants to bless all of us. And as we go through this parable, maybe we can understand why the master of those servants spoke to the man with the 1 talent the way he did. Because as I used to ponder on this, I thought it was a bit unfair because, you know, there was a nervous chap. He didn't know what to do with his master's money. So why did he treat him in such a way? The talent, like I said, used to be a weight, around about 75 pounds. Then it became a unit of money, and then it became an ability or a gift. In this parable, it speaks of the ability and gift. It's important to see that each man was giving according to his ability. So for us, what I want us to grab hold of this morning is that whenever God asks us to do something, it's because he knows we can do it. He's not asking you to do what he's asking me to do, or me what he's asking you to do. So it's each according to our ability, according to your ability. So one of the things I want to get across to us today is this. I've been speaking about servanthood. Last year, we spoke about foundations. For the next month, I want to speak about servanthood. Not so that we come and we think we must do, but it's about kingdom living. It's about all the authority that we have at our disposal. It's about the blessings that God wants to pour out upon us. It's about the deliverance that we can receive through salvation and through the laying on of hands. You know, it's the wholeness of what God has for us. The kingdom of heaven is like, and that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples here in this parable, the kingdom of heaven. If you're asked to do something, it's probably because the person asking you can see that you are capable of doing it. So if you're asked to, I don't know, stand on the door and smile, it's because people think you have a smiley face. If you're asked to serve in any way, within church or out of church, but covered by kingdom, it's because you're capable of doing it. If you have a managing director, foreman come up to you and say, will you do this? Would you be prepared to? Would you consider? It's probably because they already see in you the gift at work. You know, so often, I won't ask people who work alongside me, I won't ask them to do something that I know they're not capable of doing. And so often it frustrates me because I think at times they ought to be able to do something because it's so simple, but they can't. So I've got to the position in my life as somebody who has a couple of people work with them on a regular basis, that I have to analyze who they are and what their gifts and abilities are. So I will only ask them to do, one, what I would do myself, and 2, what I know they're capable of doing. So if an individual comes to us and asks us to do something, it's probably because they can see the gift and ability in you. So see that as a source of encouragement, not discouragement. But allow God to provoke you, to stir you up into doing something. The ability, and if you work with your ability, that's all God asks. In this parable, we're given 3 characters, 5 talent, 2 talent, 1 talent. And I believe all the master was asking them to do, he was entrusting them with his possessions. He actually gave them his possessions. They wasn't his anymore. You know, if I'm a postman and I bring a letter and I say, Molly, here's a letter, whose letter is it? It's Molly's letter. It's not my letter. I have delivered it to her. So in this parable, the master delivered, he gave over the talent, the monetary measurement, the gift, the ability. He gave it to them. So in this parable, Jesus is saying, in the kingdom of heaven, God has entrusted you with 5 talents, with 2 talents, with 1 talent. It's yours. What does he want us to do with them? He wants us to work. He wants us to produce something, to multiply something. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. When you look at that word and you look at the translation, that word, he came and he reckoned with them. You know, this word means settlement. Settlement of rewards, a measuring of responsibilities for the future. Our future is determined by how we use what we have been entrusted with. And when I looked at this, and when I started to not study it in a deep way, but when I started to cross-reference with other verses and see what this verse actually was saying and see what the translations of certain words in the original meant, he came and he reckoned with them. So basically, he didn't come back to say, right, I gave you 5 talents. I want my 5 talents back. What have you done with them? He came to see the gift I gave you. What's been happening in your life? What have you been doing with what I've entrusted you with? And we see 3 different responses. You know, the first man with the 5 talents and the second man with the 2 talents. See, you gave this to me and I multiplied it. You gave me this and I multiplied it. And within my Christian walk, I've heard Christians say this. I would never say that. I've done nothing. It's all God. I don't want to take any glory away from God. But in this parable, clearly what Jesus is saying is the master gave them something and the person did something with it. They worked. They entered commerce. They traded, whatever. They did something with what God had given them. So when God gives you a gift, it's for you to work with it. And you can say in boldness, look, see what I have done. But it has to be under the covering of the kingdom of heaven. Because outside of that, it becomes boastful. But I'm not talking about pride and arrogance. I'm talking about humility and grace. I'm talking about enablement. I'm talking about where we can boldly say, Lord, you have entrusted me with this talent and this ability. You've entrusted me, Lord, with a desire to play an instrument, to sing worship, to work with children, to work with adults, to pray on a regular basis. You've entrusted me with this prayer life. See, Lord, look what I have done with what you have given me, is what this parable is saying. So we can say with confidence that if we are covered by kingdom, we can allow God to use us in humility. But it's us. It's God in us. We are the hands, the feet. We are the pockets of the Lord. He works through us. Scary thought, especially if you're standing where I'm standing, in front of the mirror. Scary thought. God uses me and God uses you. And he's given each one of us talents. So the first man and the second man, you know, his master's response was, good and faithful servant, enter into. Enter into. And, you know, for me, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, one of the signs that I can recognize that someone is entering into is the joy of the Lord. Because even though we can be in a bad place, even though we've had a bad year, we're in rocky situations at work, home life isn't how it should be, you know, church life isn't all that God calls it to be, but there's a joy in our lives. When we're doing what God wants us to do with the talents and the gifts that he's given us, we will enter into the joy of the Lord. And the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we can seek strength from weakness. In this parable, what I want to bring out is that all God asks us to do is to work with what he has already entrusted us with. If you have 5 talent, 2 talent, or 1 talent, the reward is the same. Even as we see what the master said about the 1 talent. You know, I believe if that man had worked with what God had given him, he would have received, enter into the joy of the Lord. As I was saying in Luke, the parable crosses over. And it says things that it doesn't say in Matthew. But when you look at the two, Christ is saying the same thing. The third man, as I was looking at this portion of scripture, and I did start to feel for him a bit, because I've been in that position myself, where you're fearful. You've been entrusted with something and you're fearful, so you just hide it. You just hide the talent God has given you. Say, I'd rather be a follower than a leader. Somebody has asked you to do something at work, at home, in church, whatever, and you say, well, that person's better at it than me. Why don't I let them do it? So what I'll do is I'll help them to do what they've asked me to do. So God says something to you and you say, this is provoking us. This is stirring us up. I know God has asked me to do it, but I'm going to give that to somebody else. It's not for you to give to someone else. It's for you to do with what God has asked you to do with. If he's asked you to pray, just pray. If he's asked you to serve in the worship, serve. If he's asked you to serve on routers, serve. If he's asked you to teach, preach, whatever. Love people, then love them. Don't pass it on to somebody else. We are a young church and we're building foundations and we're saying, Lord, you know, we want to be a church that will take hold of what you've given us and work with it. Proverbs 18:20 says this: a man's belly will be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. I'm not looking at you, David, don't worry. Many of us have been given talents and abilities that are not being used because we're waiting for God to do it. God, when you do something, then I will. When you turn up, then I'll step out. God has given us talents and abilities. He expects us to put them to use. In this parable, there was three examples. The first one had the five talents. He put what he had to use and he gained five more. The second one had two talents, which was three talents less than the other person. But he took what he had and he put it to use. He worked with it. God will only give you what you're capable of doing, because it goes on to say that according to their ability. I'm going to digress. According to their ability. The third man, well, I thought it was a bit harsh, because when he came and reckoned with that man, the man said, you know, Master, I was afraid of you. I knew you harvested where you have not sown, and you reap where you've not harvested. And Lord, I was afraid, and I took your money and I hid it. The first thing he did was he didn't receive the gift that his master had given him. He didn't see it as a gift. God entrusted him with something. The master entrusted him with something, and he never received it. Out of his own confession, out of his own belly, out of his own mouth, he spoke, and that was the way his master judged him. He judged him by himself. You know, when we work with what God has given us, not only will we see increase of talents, but we'll see increase of ability. I like all of us here in this room, we're on a journey. Alan would say to the church on a regular basis, we're on a journey. And what he would say is this, you know, I would like to see 100% commitment, but in your circumstances. And that's what this parable is saying. The master is saying, I want to see 100% commitment, but in your circumstances. To one, you've got five talents. To two, you've got two. And to the third one, you've only got one talent. It's your circumstance. What's our circumstance? Is God going to stir us up? Is God going to stir you up? The third man never was in relationship with his master. He never received what his master gave him. Because this parable clearly says that the master entrusted, he gave, he delivered up. It wasn't his money anymore. It wasn't his talent. It wasn't his ability. It was ours. It was mine. It was yours. So God is saying to you and to me, I've entrusted you with a measure. What I expect you to do is not bury it, but work with it. And I, looking at this parable, I truly believe that if the third man had to come to his master and said, look, master, I took the one talent you gave me, and I tried, but I don't seem to have produced much fruit. But I've tried, but I'm fearful. I've tried, but I'm discouraged at times. I think the response of his master would have been, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Because it's not about Numbers. It's not about a preacher or a minister or a pastor or a church denomination filling and packing their churches. You know, it's not about how good a worship team is, because worship is what we do with the talents God has given us. Worship is when we go to a seedlings group and we serve. Worship is when we smile. Worship is when we go into the workplace and we're in a position where we could speak out, but we choose not to, because we want to serve God's purposes for his kingdom, because we are under his kingdom banner. So even if we have the one talent, even if you say to yourself, you know, it's okay for you because, you know, you've been called to do this. Well, we've all been called. We've all been asked. We've all been given a measure. And it's not for me or anyone else to tell you what to do with what God has given you. It's for us to say, Lord, what can I do to serve your kingdom? You know, you and I, we're all part of a church that is a church in progress. You know, within this church, we haven't got everything we need, because the talents are out there, because you are valued. You've been entrusted with something. Corinthians 12:18 says this: but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you have been arranged as part of this body, just as God wants them to be. The head cannot say to the foot, and so on and so on. Something that I like to bring, it's a picture of a jigsaw puzzle, and I see Grace Community Church as a jigsaw puzzle, and we are the parts that make that puzzle up. And if one part is missing, then the jigsaw puzzle is not complete. That might sound poetic, but the truth is this. It's not a leadership comes from that side of the pulpit, not only this side of the pulpit. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body is joined and held together, with every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So as we take hold of the talent and the ability that God has given us, as we stand in the part of the body that God wants us to stand in love, covered by the kingdom principle, which is deliverance, it's salvation, it's his goodness, it's his mercy, it's his grace, his blessings, his enablement, his authority, everything that kingdom represents. When we stand in that, when we say, Lord, I am weak, but in you I am strong. When we read scripture and say, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, look, see what I have done with what you have given me. Not in a boastful, prideful way, but in a way that brings edification and joy to our master. When we take hold of the gift that God has given us, and we don't try to operate in a five-talent gift if we're a two-talent person, or a two-talent gift if we're a five-talent person, or a five-talent gift if we're a one-talent person, because that will bring frustration. If we operate in the sphere of things that God has called us to, if we operate with the measure that he has given us, what we will see is multiplication. Five talents became 10 talents. And who knows, if you have 10 talents... suddenly you start to work with 10 talents. So not only was you a 5-talent person who now is a 10-talent person with 10 talents of ability, you're now a 10-talent person who has the potential to become a 20-talent person. So when we operate in the gifts and abilities that God has given us, and then natural gifts and natural abilities, let's not get super spiritual about it. If you're a teacher, teach. But under the banner of God's principles, and then the rewards will be yours, you'll become a 20-talent teacher. So God is into multiplication. So the thing I see about this parable is this. One, God has given us gifts. He's not going to come back and expect us to give him them back. It's a preacher in the making. He's not going to expect what he's given us back. He's going to say, what have you done? He's going to reckon with us. What have you done with what I have given you? Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to leave it there. let's be a church that will take hold of what God has given us and will use what God has given us under the banner of his kingdom so he receives the glory, realizing that it's okay for us to say, look what I have done with what God has given me in humility and grace, and he will say to you, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I'll finish on this note. If you feel like a one-talent person and you say to yourself, Lord, I've only got one talent, what he would say to you is this. Take that one talent and use it. If that one talent in your circumstance at the moment is that all you can do for his kingdom and for his church and his body is pray, then pray. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. If all you can do for the kingdom with your one talent is smile and bring satisfaction to another person, good and faithful servant. The only thing God doesn't want, and what he is saying in this parable is this, the only thing he detests is when we deny the gift that God has given us. When we say, you've offered me grace, you've offered me salvation, but I'm rejecting it. I'm going to hide it because I've heard about you, God. You're a hard man. You're a harsh man. Then God will give you what your lips have asked for. Out of what's come, out of the fruit of what you have said, he will judge you by your own words. Proverbs speaks about it. Bible speaks about it in one or two places. Let's be a church that take the talent that God has given us and put it to use. One, two, or three, or five. Let's just pray, and then Cheryl will lead us in worship for our last song, and during this time we'll take up our offering. Father God, I pray that you will stir us up. You will provoke us. That, Lord, we won't be a people that will be stagnant, but we will be a people that will walk in fresh waters. That, Lord, we will be a people that will take on board what you have given us. That we will see that you are wanting to pour out your blessing upon us. That we can receive deliverance. That we can receive salvation. We can receive your blessings and your authority because the kingdom of heaven is now. You came to bring freedom and liberty. You came to set the captives free. Lord, free us up in our worship and in our walk. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.